Hello and welcome to the Unscripted SEO Podcast Special Edition Q&A. So I came up with an idea. We'll try it out, see if it works. I'm going to troll around for questions, whether on Reddit, Slack forums, or on Twitter, where I'm constantly, and look for constantly asked questions and provide answers to them, or ask them out to the community and share the answers that I find. As well as any questions that you guys send to me. I'll be happy to answer any questions about SEO that you might have. One that came to mind is, who am I? I recently took over the SEO Unscripted podcast from Mark Preston and totally honored. I have been doing SEO for the last 17 years as a freelance SEO consultant. Working in-house, I worked with a software company called Raven Tools, which was rather well-known 10 or 15 years ago. They were main competitor to Moz. I worked initially with them. They brought me out to Tennessee and worked with a fantastic SEO and their founder, John Henshaw. He really gave me a big leg up in the SEO industry and gave me an entree to working with all kinds of different agencies. One was Caddis Interactive. They were totally outdoor focused, so optimizing deer trophy photos and making jokes for Jeff Foxworthy on his Facebook page. A lot of optimizing and creating content for the outdoor industry in that space. I worked with a number of small agencies like To The Top Design, worked with Hive Digital, worked with CopyPress. Recently, I've been doing freelance consulting with Elite Strategies, along with Brady Madden over at Evergreen Services, and I have a couple of my own clients, an asphalt consultant or construction worker, and a furniture company. So I'm a freelance SEO, and so I run into all kinds of problems in every shape or size, trying to figure it out and work it out for them. So one of the questions that I came across on Twitter was, does updating your blog post date have any measurable impact on your post's organic performance? Now, we know a couple of pieces of information over time about Google's preference for query deserves freshness. So when they're processing their search results, they're categorizing what they've found and trying to serve up results. Since Matt Cutts' days, they've always said QDF, you know, query deserves freshness. They want to give a fresh, relevant, new answer. So it's always been something in the back of my mind where, you know, I thought that it would be, you know, obviously, if you updated your content, then Google might see those changes. In the recently leaked Google document set, some people like Andrew Ansley have dug in, and it seems to indicate that there's kind of a batch or a number of updates that Google keeps track of. There are about 20 or so. So you can update your content 20 times and Google will remember up to the 20th time, and then it will forget what was your site like more than 20 changes ago. That indicates that it has some sort of temporality involved, but it's also interesting because there are other tags and elements that indicate it might be paying attention to you know, the numbers that you actually display for those display dates, both in your meta content as well as actual in text on your page. So I have tried an experiment myself, going back to oldest content on my SEO SaaS site, SEO Arcade, and started going back to the oldest content, making minor edits and publishing to the new date. And so I only have one data set to work with there, but it seems to be having a positive impact, whether it's the minor changes of adding an internal link to another page and adding a couple of bold and changing some small things on page, nothing major. But I have seen positive impact on those pages Rebecca creates on Twitter. So that's Rebecca Edwards. She's the co-founder of Plera. She said that she had success. She had her developers go back and make two small changes and update the publishing date as well. So she claims that that also had a positive lift on her keywords. So something to consider. Two data points, my data point and hers. And certainly nothing in documentation that would say that it's a bad idea to update your blog, to update the most recent date that you published changes to it. The second question is, has anyone in SEO used a local event to sponsor like a local river or park cleaning as a local link building vehicle? Yes, I have done this. I did this with a paddle board company in Nashville. And we set up a day and a time that one of their floats, we would put out the call and say, hey, you can do a free river float and we're going clean up and we're going to take bags along the river and clean up. We actually got, we posted that out on social. We actually got a local news crew to come out and take footage of all of the trash that we took out of the river. So we got local links, we got news links from that, mentions on social media. So I think as far as like an activity or something that you can arrange for relatively inexpensive for a business to build local links is considering a local park cleanup. And just even if you need to hire somebody to do that on Craigslist, certainly could be worthwhile. The next question is a rel canonical tag equivalent in transferring authority as a 301 redirect? I asked this on Twitter the other day and got some mixed messaging, mostly that while the rel canonical tag can help you sort out if you are syndicating content to multiple sources, that a 301 redirect of a page is going to be a stronger hint or suggestion to Google because the original page is no longer exists. Adding a canonical basically says, hey, this is duplicate and you really should pay attention to this other page over here. So it's not as strong of a hint or a signal. But I did get some feedback from two SEOs that they had better results from the canonical. So there are some potential implications from that as far as use. Thinking about if you have a resource or a page that you're moving to somewhere else, should you apply a canonical first and then add a 301 redirect? Might be a good strategy to go ahead and hit both of those. Last question is, if a company has two locations, should the Google profile for both locations go to specifically created location pages, or should one location be pointed to the homepage URL specifically? Got a lot of feedback and interaction on this particular question on Twitter. And the large consensus is that you should always aim for and create specific location pages for each of your locations. And even for, especially for each of your locations. Separately, also getting advice that you should have location pages as a general strategy for your business or site if you have a locality attached to it. Obviously, if you're in e-commerce, this doesn't apply. But if you have two locations, you should try to create a specific location page. There was a caveat of one person who indicated that if you have a large amount of reviews and referrals already existing on an existing location page, then it'd be okay to create the second one. But if you're kind of building them out at both at the same time, then it'd be okay to create two equal location pages. So that's it for this special edition of Unscripted SEO Podcast. If you have questions that you'd like me to answer, go ahead and find me on Twitter at Jeremy Rivera SEO or at Unscripted SEO. or on LinkedIn. Throw me some questions. I'll be happy to answer in the next episode.